the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
The radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Welcome in today. I'm Joe Galewski. On the phone, 877-711-5211. On the email, udocs@gmail.com. On iHeartRadio, at RadioMD, or you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. You can go to iHeartRadio.com. You can start there. You can download the app. You can go to the computer, use it on the web. If you use the web, click Talk in the main menu, and then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. That's how it's done. Here's Dr. Mike coming up at 20 after Dr. Mike. It's Dr. Gary Ginsberg. He'll talk about cornflakes and groundwater, air pollution. He has a story on air pollution. And how we are detoxing serious chemical weapons. What did I say, sir? Did I say something? China?
I said air pollution in China.
China, so, okay.
Shortening the average lifespan.
Okay. And our fuel cells, a healthier energy future. Fuel cells. I know they have, here in Syracuse, they have charging stations for electric cars. And they're taking them out because nobody's using them. They're kind of just sitting there, and they're pretty expensive, and rather than have to pay the freight on them, they're taking them out, because very few people have electric cars. So I'm not sure whether that's going to catch on or not.
Tell me again.
What?
Joe, on the electric car,
yeah.
Why is the charging station expensive? It isn't just what is used?
Well, they're renting them, or they bought them, and nobody's using them. I would think they're pretty costly, but typically you go to the mall, the big local mall here, and people are parking close. These charging stations are in parking spots close to the mall, and since nobody is using them, people who have normal cars, fueled cars, they're using the parking spots. So the bang for the buck isn't there, you know. So they're taking them out. So the electric car hasn't caught on yet. Anyway, that's Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 6:20. Can I ask you a question? We have guests on that do meditation. You probably meditate, right? Do you meditate?
A little bit, 5 minutes usually, morning and night.
What do you do when you meditate? What is it? What do you do when you meditate?
The basic principle is what he said, which is you clear what Eben Alexander, our guest, in another show said, which is you focus your brain on something other than activity that is going on. That is, you go to away from a local consciousness or a consciousness of what is locally happening to a deeper area, or to a area that is different. That is, it's basically a clearing of your brain so that you don't think of anything and you let all the thoughts of the current consciousness, the current day, float away so that you're less stressed.
I'm thinking, though, that's got to be difficult to do because you tell yourself, okay, don't think about cheeseburgers for the next 5 minutes. And then it's got to be difficult to do.
If you say don't think about cheeseburgers, you will think about a cheeseburger.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The basic goal is you focus on your breathing. So you're focusing on for example, your belly button going in or out, and you can't think of anything else. When you get to really deeper levels, which is what he's talking about, these exercises are, you don't have to think about that phrase, you don't have to think about that. You don't have to think about your belly button. You think about, apparently, and I have not done all the exercises that he has for us, you think about this deeper level.
And it's good because it does what for you? It calms your blood pressure down? What is it? How is it healthier for you?
It releases stress. We don't know all the mechanisms. We do think that one of the major ones is that it increases activity in your vagal nerve, which calms your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to what stays in Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, this is the opposite. What happens in your Vegas goes to the rest of your body to calm it.
Yep, everybody says people swear by it when they do meditate for whatever length of time they can meditate. 877-711-5211, udocs@gmail.com. How much coffee should you drink every day, Dr. Mike?
Well, actually, this is a really interesting question because there are two different populations, and they're about 50% of Americans, and it is a genetic predisposition. So an easy way to tell, we'll tell you in a few seconds, but is the goal is to have 4 or 5 or more cups of coffee a day if you are not genetically predisposed to be a slow metabolizer of coffee. So fast metabolizers, and you can tell if 2 cups of coffee makes you anxious, gives you anxiety, keeps you up at night, then you're a slow metabolizer. Those people actually have an increased risk of disease from, if you will, coffee. On the other hand, those people who can take coffee and it not affect them in a negative way, those people, the 6 cups a day, and it decreases your risk of cancer, number of cancers, 9 different ones. It decreases your risk of heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, a whole bunch of things. So in the people who can handle, if you will, the caffeine without getting anxious from it, the more the better. In those people who can't, then you want to stay under 2 cups a day. Pretty interesting, eh?
Yeah, it is. Now, how about regular versus decaf?
Well, this is actually what you're asking is even more interesting question, but it is, we're talking always about regular today. There is some interest that some of the protection from coffee against the cancers and against Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia, all of which it does protect you against, may not be related to the caffeine. But most believe that it is related to the caffeine, and so it's only either caffeinated water or caffeine that actually helps you.
All right, let's move from coffee now to fish. And not all fish is healthy. Everybody thinks fish is good, but there are some things unhealthy fish you should probably try to avoid. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. So give you the example is tuna. Usually tuna has been caught from is a what we call bottom feeding fish, and the bottom feeders get a lot of mercury because there were mercury batteries that settled to the bottom of the sea. The algae grew up around them, has a lot of mercury in it, and the fish eat the tuna. The older tuna eat that mercury fish, the smaller fish, and have a lot of mercury themselves. So that's one of the examples. It's a fish that is contaminated, and that's part of the reason you don't want to have certain fish. So we can go through some of the others, one of my favorites actually is, well, can you guess one of my favorites?
Mahi-mahi.
In this category?
Mahi-mahi. That you like?
Mahi-mahi is okay, but imported catfish.
Okay.
Is bad. 90% of catfish imported to the United States comes from Vietnam, where use of antibiotics that are banned in the U.S. is widespread. Further, many of these fish aren't technically catfish and don't have the omega-3s you want. They've been learned to feed on soy and cornmeal, so they don't have the healthy fats in them. Another which would fit in this category is the American eel, or yellow or silver eel. It's often in sushi dishes, and, quote, it's got a very high contaminant rate with PCBs and mercury. Imported shrimp is probably the worst because 90% of it comes from areas that are otherwise contaminated. So it is one of the real things. If you're going to say avoid one thing, it's avoid imported shrimp. 90% of the shrimp sold in the United States is unfortunately
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm very proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Coming up at 6:35 minutes after the hour, we'll answer some email questions from you, our great listeners of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. If you have a question, comment for Dr. Mike, it's udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. We'll spend some time at 35 after the hour to answer some questions on things like osteoporosis. Is there a real and validated basis for nutrigenomics, vegan diets, those kind of things? If you have any questions along the way for Dr. Mike for this show, It's udocs@gmail.com. As I said, UYOUDOCS@gmail.com. What's toxic? What's not? Every week at this time, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. He's our in-house toxicologist. Dr. G, thanks for coming on. Dr. Mike, what do you like with Dr. Ginsberg's topics this week first?
Well, he's got a whole bunch of good ones. I want to hear about China and air pollution, but probably more interesting to me is how we're getting rid of the nuclear weapons in Syria. How are we doing that, Gary?
Hi, guys. Yeah, well, the collection of the chemical weapons in the has gone fairly well from the Assad regime, actually ahead of schedule, and there's something like 1,000 metric tons of nerve gas and mustard gas agents that need to be essentially detoxified, neutralized, or burned. And we don't want to dump it at sea. That was the bad old ways of doing it during the Cold War. As a matter of fact, people in Poland, from some dumping in the Baltic Sea, they got hurt from mustard gas washing up there. So the way, and believe me, this is the political and economic, country after country has rejected the U.S. offer to have them host the removal, not the removal, but the neutralization or destruction of these weapons. So what they've come up with is a flotilla, a boat, a large military craft that they've leased that they're converting into a chemical neutralization factory, and they're going to do it out at sea. And they're claiming that they're not going to have any go overboard or into the water, and it's all going to be held in a vessel that will be still contain toxic chemicals, because when you neutralize with strong acid or strong base and high temperature, when you neutralize these very toxic nerve poisons, you end up with something that still has some mild toxicity to it, and you certainly don't want to put it back into the ocean. So then they'll have to bring it to land and then find a hazardous waste disposal system where they can safely get rid of all that liquid.
Say, how about these people over there that work with in these
Gary,
countries? That
this seems like who would want to work on that boat?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be more. I think it's going to be contracted out to people who know how to handle hazardous waste with proper level 4 or
not just robots
controls. Yeah, no, not just robots. No, they're going to have people controlling the vessels. Just in case there's a fail-safe accident, they'll have lots of safety precautions. But at least if something bad happens, it will be far from land.
I was going to ask you, these people who over there in these countries who work with this stuff in Syria, developing these weapons, what kind of health situation do these people have?
Well, it's a good question. We don't really know. You know, we're not actively in this country engaged in making chemical warfare weapons anymore. So, you know, that industry we don't have. I don't know what kind of precautions they took. Look, you can handle most anything safely if you properly screen, monitor, and have all the right safety equipment. So hopefully the Syrian people took care of that for their own researchers. But one thing that why this is such a hot potato is because it's a huge security risk. If some terrorist cell knew, for example, that all this is being trucked across some other country, you know, they might try to hijack it.
Okay, let's talk about China. Dr. Mike brought up the China story, air pollution and its relationship to the life expectancy in China. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, well, we've talked about how high the levels of particulate matter can get in Beijing, but the health implications have been more predicted, statistical, not actually measured. More and more studies now are starting to come out of China. Interestingly enough, they're letting some outside researchers in. And this study looked at people living north of, in the northern part of China, which uses a lot of coal, versus the southern part of China, which does not. And 5.5 years shorter life expectancy if you live in places like Beijing or even in some of the more rural outposts, but which are further, but which are still in the north where they burn coal. So coal is a very dirty source of energy, puts a lot of particulates into the atmosphere, and is leading to 5.5 years less lifespan. So the 500 million people that live in the north of China, that adds up to 2.5 billion life years lost.
Wow. Let's talk about cornflakes.
Gary,
I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Gary, I looked at the picture from Shanghai today, and there is, which is southern rather than northern, and there is a ton of air pollution there today. You can't even see.
I know. This is an unusual weather pattern, and it is really socked in right now over Shanghai, emergency situation there. So the whole country really is a bad air quality, poor environmental health zone. This study showed that the north is worse than the south, but anywhere in China is going to be worse than, say, living in Los Angeles or Mexico City, which are the two North American continent locations where we normally think of bad air quality, or sometimes bad air quality.
All right, next story, I guess, if I can ask you about it, is the cornflake story, Dr. Ginsberg.
Yeah, right. Well, General Mills is based out of Minneapolis. They've got a factory there, and I don't know why the production of cornflakes or yogurt or ice cream, which General Mills is well known for, would lead to the release of large amounts of trichloroethylene, a very toxic and carcinogenic solvent, into the groundwater. My theory is that they must have been cleaning, these releases go back 20, 30, 40 years, but they must have been cleaning some metal parts in their factories with this solvent, weren't careful about all the waste solvent, and it ended up getting into the ground. And so there have been lawsuits against General Mills. There's been a huge amount of cleanup that has gone on to try to save the city of Minneapolis' drinking water from all this TCE pollution. But there are certain quadrants where the levels in the ground, in the groundwater and in the soil, in certain neighborhoods are so high that even if you're not drinking the water, you just by breathing the air in your home, enough of this toxic solvent is getting into the houses to create a health risk. And if they don't put in systems to vent the soil under these houses, these people can go on to generate both a reproductive risk and a long-term cancer risk. So we don't know why it got into the ground, but it's there. It's underneath people's homes. We're talking 50 to 100 homes right now, which are in the bad zone, but the testing is ongoing.
All right. Dr. Gary Ginsberg with us every week here on the show. If you'd like to check his website out, very informational, interesting, and entertaining. It's whatstoxic.com. To reach Dr. Mike on the show today, 877-711-5211 or udocs@gmail.com. As a matter of fact, we'll answer some email questions from listeners and get you the answers that you're looking for right after the break. And again, catch us on iHeartRadio Talk as well. It's a unique way to customize your information, health information, news information, but just another way to get the information out about this great show every week. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thank you for listening today and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Yes, and the show continues today at udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. We will get to some email questions and Dr. Mike's answers to those emails in this segment. Bridget's here to check in and to talk about some of her favorite stories of the week that Dr. Mike puts together every week for us. And I think you agree with me tonight that today that the one that I found most interesting, and I read about this earlier this week, about healthier foods and, you know, healthier foods and diet patterns. I think one of the things, Bridget, that I've talked about before, people kind of shy away from the healthier foods because they seem to be more expensive, but there could be some difference of opinion on that, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, and Joe, I always agree with you. So don't sound so surprised. But yes, that was my favorite story too, and I completely agree. But the interesting thing that this study, it's a meta-analysis. So they looked at all of the latest studies, and they analyzed, there was 27 of them from 10 different countries. They analyzed the price comparisons for healthy foods versus unhealthy foods by food group. And so what and the most interesting finding to me, I think, was that they found for specific food groups that there's not much of a difference in price for healthier versus unhealthy options. So those food categories were grains, snacks, and dairy. that they found were pretty similar, whether you were buying healthier versions or less healthy versions. So, for instance, like refined grain crackers rather than 100% whole wheat crackers, something like that would be, those foods would be similar price, but providing more nutrients. And then they also found... And they also found that meat had the highest price difference, so that if you're trying to buy healthier versions of meat, that that's where you can really break the bank, and you'll be paying about 29 cents more on average per serving for a more healthy option compared to a less healthy option.
Yeah, and I've heard that it amounts to, I think it's a buck and a half a day. It's only that much more expensive, that it's a dollar and a half, which is, you know, reasonable considering what you might spend on, you know, something else in a day.
Right.
So that's a big barrier to overcome. If it's that much, it's not bad. So, Dr. Mike, I mean, how do you get that message across in this age of a lot of promotion of the fast food places and the unhealthy foods?
I think the key on this is, in fact, finding out a way of getting the price down to being the same. So instead of $1.50 more, maybe we could, through the farm bill and through other things, subsidize the things that would be able to be made less expensive in this. And so rather than subsidizing the unhealthy food, we start subsidizing the healthy food and make it less expensive.
Okay, but how do you get the message to the masses? That's what I'm asking.
Smart advertising.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's just got to be educating the way you and I are trying to do, and Bridget's right. trying to do right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we still average in this country, we eat 18 billion hamburgers a day. I'm not just talking about the fast food hamburgers; it's the gourmet hamburgers from the upscale restaurants. 18 billion a year. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of hamburgers.
That is. So well, there's got to be a meaning.
I think, too, that it's also convincing people of the long-term impact that it can have, choosing healthier foods versus less healthy foods. And although, like, $1.50 per day might seem like a lot, and that translates to about $550 more per year per person. So if you're a family of five, that could end up equating to a big difference, but when you look at the long-term investment, it's well worth it if you look at how much you're going to decrease the cost of a lot of associated costs that come with chronic illness. Right, Dr. Rosen? That's not my area
Absolutely.
Of expertise.
Yeah, well, that's where the battle is, right? Because you've got to convey... successfully convey the long-term message, the long-term benefit of eating the healthy stuff, as opposed to the way, you know, the fast food message is advertised as instant gratification. It doesn't take
right.
long, and it tastes good. So I think you've got to convince the public that in the long term, this is better for you. And I don't think they've successfully done that yet, but that's something they probably need to do. The other story that you like, I think, is the one that has to do with less physical activity for today's moms. Is that the one you thought was pretty interesting too, Bridget?
Yes, I think it's so interesting, especially because it follows last week's story, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, of the increase in sedentary behavior in youth and how that translates to a higher BMI in children. And so I think that it's so interesting that they've studied two different groups of women, one moms with children 5 years or younger, and then the second group were moms of children 6 to 18, and they looked at how much TV they watched and how much physical activity they get today compared to 4 decades ago. And I think that it makes a lot of sense to look at the mom's habits, because that's probably one of the driving forces to the increased sedentary behavior of the kids, because kids do a lot of the same things that their parents do. So I think that might be where the childhood sedentary behavior and TV watching is coming from. So what they found is that compared to 1965, that moms with younger children, their physical activity fell from 44 hours in 1965 to less than 30 hours per week in 2010. And then for moms with older children, they decreased from 32 hours to 21 hours per week. And their sedentary behavior increased in both of those groups as well. And then they looked at stay-at-home moms compared to moms that are working, and they found that stay-at-home moms had twice the decrease in physical activity and larger increases in sedentary behaviors. And I would assume that they're attributing that to technology, screen time in general, you know, like iPads, computers, TVs.
Yeah. All right, so I always look for answers. What would be one of your solutions to fix this?
To fix it, well, I definitely don't think that it's a fix that's going to happen overnight. But I think that things like the Wii or other gaming technologies that are coming out will be a good solution to maybe allow moms to engage in their TV shows or whatever and still be working out. And then I think that also just having some kind of community engagement so that you have the outlets to go work out at. Things like the Cleveland Clinic does, where they offer free gym memberships so that women who have children can work out on their lunch break or after work and then have time to go home and be with their kids.
You know, the Wii Fit, what is it, Wii Fit? Is that
and in
the,
fact, another one, Joe, might be...
Go ahead, sir.
Joe, another solution might be to do mobile. You know, if you put your TV on your iPad or iPhone and walk around with it. So maybe it is using the mobile technologies in a way to encourage you to if you want to watch TV, you can still do that, but you can still get more physical activity doing it.
Yeah, you've got that treadmill in your office, right, with a desk and... A desktop on front of us? You work and walk at the same time, right?
I do, but in addition, when I watch videos on my iPhone or when I watch, when I do, if you will, listen to other news or talk on the phone with other people, I do it walking around. So, you know...
And he puts his headphones in.
That goal of 10,000 steps a day, I keep the pedometer and I live it.
Great. All right, we'll get into hold that, Bridget. You can chime in after the we do the break here. We get to a break and then Dr. Mike will answer some email questions specific to bacteria and inflammation and obesity, and that'll be coming up after the break. Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs@gmail.com, and a Real Age tip of the week too. Before the end of the hour on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start insures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
One of Dr. Mike's infamous, entertaining, informational Real Age Tips of the Week coming up in 6 minutes. In the meantime, some questions from our great listeners at udocs@gmail.com to Dr. Mike and some of his answers. Let's get through these here. Dr. Mike, over the next couple minutes, question number one, is a vegan diet less inflammatory?
A vegan diet is usually considered less inflammatory, meaning creates less inflammation in your body. Inflammation is the thing you see when you have a stab wound or something on your skin and you get a pus around it. Well, the initial injury is caused by both the injury and then the reaction to it, and inflammation is causing that reaction, but inflammation stimulates the resolution of it too. So the things that cause the problem, that is saturated fat, red meat, those things cause sugar, those things cause inflammation in your body, and generally a vegan diet has less saturated fat. It can have some of the palm and coconut oils are saturated fat, so you don't want those. You got to be a little careful with the foods you eat to not get saturated fat. But in general, the vegan diet has less of the things that cause cause inflammation. Now, remember, a lot of people have gone gluten free. Some of the things that are in a vegan diet have a lot of gluten in it, and if you're allergic to gluten, that can cause inflammation in your body. So it's really an individual thing, but in general, yes, vegan diet, less inflammatory than the standard American diet.
Okay, we have a couple of questions here about gut bacteria, and I think as it relates to inflammation and obesity. Question number one, Dr. Mike, are there specific bacteria that populate your gut that cause you to get thinner?
Maybe. This is an interesting study of twins, both human twins, and then the study went to mice. that there are some mice that generally stay thin, some that get fat. And when you do twin studies of the mice, some of the mice get fat and some get thin with the same genetics that are identical twins as far as we can tell. It turns out the bacteria in their guts are different. There's a lot of investigation now going to find out, is there a difference in their, what we call microbiome, the bacteria in their intestine, is this causing it? The answer is, at least in some mice, in some animals, and in some humans, it appears that so. That is, you can do a fecal transplant from a thin mouse to a fat mouse, and the fat mouse becomes thin, and vice versa. That indicates that it is the bacteria in the inside the gut that may be the difference, and so there may be a lot of research in this area to find bacteria that can help you stay thin.
Okay, good. Here's another question. Dr. Mike, I'd like to know, what can women take to improve gut health that will specifically improve osteoporosis?
Well, this is an interesting problem because the a lot of the medications that affect that people take chronically, such as the medications for gastroesophageal reflux disease or GERD or heartburn, cause osteoporosis as a side effect. And some of the medications that we've been chronically taking for osteoarthritis, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, seem to cause osteoporosis too. So there's a lot of interest in this. It's thought this may relate to what they do with changing the bacteria in your gut. We, again, don't have the answer to that, but within 2 years or maybe 3 years, I expect we'll have the answer to that, and that it may be something that changes the inflammation inside your gut. Now, what we learned is that, in fact, DHA, that's the three-letter word, part of the fish oil, but it's not all fish oils, it's DHA, and you can get it from algae if you want. DHA and aspirin, two baby aspirin a day, those two together help quell inflammation by producing something new called a resolvin-1, which decreases inflammation, and it's thought that keeps your teeth intact better. And those two things, that is the aspirin and the DHA, if you're chronically taking those, also keep your bones younger. But we expect to find something about the gut bacteria that helps you sometime in the next 2 years.
I'd like to have you answer this email, then we'll go to your real age tip. Dr. Mike, could you please comment on the recent trend for use of coconut oil as a healthful choice in cooking and or baking? I have understood the saturated vegetable oil to be not very healthy.
Yeah, coconut and palm oil are what we call medium-chain triglycerides. They're not as long as the long saturated fats like lard and butter, but they are saturated fats. They seem to cause...
Have we lost Dr. Mike on his line there? Okay. Is Bridget there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Thank God for you. The wind beneath my wings. We lost.
I'll try my best.
We lost Dr. Mike on a cell. Is there anything on your mind that would you like to talk about here that may not necessarily be on our medical story of the week list?
I'm not sure if this is what Dr. Roizen was going to finish with on coconut oil, but It is a medium chain triglyceride. So it's absorbed differently than long chain triglycerides, but the thing about coconut oil is that it's still 92% saturated. So if you look at any bottle of coconut oil, it's going to have a large amount of saturated fats that are not good for your heart health, like Dr. Roizen was just even talking about with inflammation. So while coconut oil is being promoted as being a very healthy alternative oil, it in fact is not the healthiest option because it's very high in saturated fat.
Now, how about you see on cookies and crackers and things that you buy? Does that come up on a label when you buy stuff like cookies and those kind of things?
For saturated fat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So if there's saturated fat within the foods that are put into the cookies, then they'll 100% label the content of saturated fat. So the Cleveland Clinic guidelines for saturated fat are less than 4 grams for any entree, and then you want to aim for any, like, snack or dessert, less than 2 grams.
Okay. I'd really like to talk about sex as exercise, Bridget, but we frankly run out of time. And we totally
don't do that. We'll have to save the sex and exercise for next week.
We need to totally dedicate an entire segment to that. So
you're right. It would be such a great story.
We'll save that till the next time we get together. And I apologize for and thanks for pitching in there, young lady. I appreciate your input on today's show as well. That's Bridget and Dr. Mike's connection. He's at a conference in Las Vegas, so we had a technical problem with that. But nevertheless, thank you for listening today. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com is the email address. And check us out on iHeartRadio, too. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase 2 bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a 3rd bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive 3 bottles of Nighttime for the price of 2.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.